Hey friends, you're listening to Changing the Conversation, a podcast by African Leadership and the Mocha Club, where we take time to sit down and explore topics to challenge our perspective in pursuit of better loving people and the world around us. Oh, work-life balance. It's one of those terms that we hear all the time, but I think it's an important topic to cover. So today on the podcast, Emily and I talk about our own personal experience with work-life balance, as well as some experiences we know of our friends across the continent of Africa. Okay, so tell me about your night.
Girl, it's amazing to watch somebody's brain work. It's just not so much fun in the middle of the night.
Mm.
Fletch is in this crazy mental growth phase where he's asking a lot of questions, and it's almost like it goes into hyperdrive when he gets in the bed because there's nothing else going on. There's nothing else to distract his brain, and so he lays in this bed, and he knows that, like, he's not allowed to get out of bed, and so his only reply is, "Mommy," you know, from down the hall. So you kind of go back there, and you're like, "Yeah, bud, what do you need? Do you think tomorrow I could bite my toenails?"
What?
Who are you?
My word.
I don't know. Let's talk about it in the morning. Okay, good night.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. And then I thought for sure, like, it was probably 30 minutes later. Mommy. I'm like, what's happening? So I go in there and he goes, in a rocket ship with the rocket boosters, where's the fuel in the rocket boosters? And where does the captain sit? How also do you make it go? Like, do they push a button? Is it like the button next to your steering wheel in the car? Is that how they make the rocket boosters go?
And you're like, I love
Yeah,
Fletcher.
Kid. That's exactly what happens. Man, figuring out how to do work and life and the balance of that's hard. But you have that.
Well, yeah, but I don't have a child, so it's a little different.
Well, yeah.
I get my sleep.
Yeah, but still you have to figure out, like, how do I balance going on vacations or
sure.
Oh, running a half marathon? And
or even, like, when, like, day-to-day, when do you, like, turn the work off and say, like, okay, for today it's done.
Right.
And now I'm going to go run errands or do this and not think about work until tomorrow morning.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also knowing to take the pressure off you. Like, I'm not the end-all be-all to this job thing.
Totally.
I play a really important role and I'm going to bring all that I have to the table, but it's much bigger than me. But so is life, I feel like, you know, like
totally
finding that balance, man.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's super
But you're
hard.
Doing it.
But everybody does it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like everybody,
yeah,
like, you don't have a choice but to do it, to figure it out. And there are definitely days where you flop at it and you go, man, I messed up that balance today pretty bad. You know, I either worked too much or I didn't work hard enough. I had to do baby things.
Life keeps moving.
Right. You're going to get up
what
tomorrow
are you
and make choices
right.
about work and life and how to do them both. Oftentimes it's only on the back end of it that you kind of can say, oh my gosh, I either knocked that one out of the park or super flopped.
But do you feel like you've always been good at knowing, like, okay, it's 5 o'clock. It's time to go home.
Oh no.
Yeah.
The Lord's just kind of teaching me how to be intentional and present in the places that I am. And so I know that I need to just quit working most days at 4 and come home and spend 3 or 4 hours with Fletcher before he goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's things I need to wrap up, I can do them after that.
Sure.
Especially if Rob's still got things he needs to finish up. But for the most part, like, I don't feel rushed during the day. It's been a process of learning how to space out the things I need to do so that I can do them well but not be rushed in them. I can stay present in them, even if it's the grocery store. But the grocery store with a child can be a place of, like, oh my gosh, get me out of this madness. I need to get home, especially Trader Joe's. Or it can be this sweet place of, what would you like to buy right now? What do you want, this vegetable or this vegetable? And engaging him in a story and in decisions and food and teaching him how to smell pineapple and pick a pineapple and, you know, things that I remember about my childhood that I'm better at now with a companion like a little person like Fletcher or with Rob than I ever was when I was single. When I was single, it was like, leave the office, get to the gym, go to the grocery, stop by the bank, pick up my dry cleaning, you know, be at dinner with my friends by 7:15 having showered.
Right, right.
Like my life just felt consumed with going, going, going.
Yep.
And something about having people and relationships in it that I want to slow down for and I want to move slower through life with. It's given me a little bit more space to just kind of go, I can't probably do all those things.
I just feel like I'm in a season of life where my community is mostly single people, which is so fun. I mean, yeah, it's just really fun to be in the same season as those around you. But I feel like whenever there's a chance to see one of my friends, it's really hard to say no to that because I'm thinking ahead like, well, if I say no now, like, I don't know the next time I'm going to be able to see them just because life does get crazy. So I feel like it's like this circular process where someone asks me to hang out and I say yes because I don't know when I'm going to have time to see them again. But if I keep doing that with everyone, then my schedule keeps filling up. I'm trying to learn how to balance that of when can my yeses actually be like a really good yes and that I actually have energy and time and mental space and I'm giving them my best self because I'm not just trying to fit them into a 1 hour window.
So this is so funny that we're talking about all this because finding balance and the crazy mayhem of having children in work is part of the fun of what we do, but it's also what reminds me that we're all the same. Everybody has this. So when I was in Africa a couple months ago, I was driving down the road with Tito and I actually got to record our conversation as he's telling me about his work-life balance because he just had baby Benjamin. So Tito is our country director in South Sudan. He was born and raised in what was Sudan at the time. And he just is really passionate about changing the world of South Sudan. And so he grew up in Sudan, high school, and then when he decided to go on to college, he actually went to seminary in Kenya and just really was passionate. Like, no, I have to get back. My work and my calling is to better South Sudan. I've got to go back. So he's just always lived and worked there. I can't wait for you to hear what he has to say about learning about a little baby.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait.
From personal notes, actually, within my family setting especially, I've learned so many things, especially in the raising of the baby. From day one, when the baby was born, I was right there. I was the first person to carry the baby from the maternity to the baby care within the hospital. I was the first, not even my wife. And bringing the baby again from there to the mother was me, which I have never done before. And baby crying at night, I had no idea. I have no idea. That was the time when I experienced the crying of the baby, that the baby can cry for almost 3 months. I had no idea. 3 months, the baby cried for 3 months, and I had to help my wife.
This is his fourth baby.
Oh, this is his fourth. This is not his first.
No.
Okay.
I had to do all the work that actually the mother is doing. I've never done that. Emily, let me be frank with you. I've never done that before.
So raising babies are hard.
It's not easy. It's not easy. It's a tough work. That's why I have to respect women more than before. And that's one of the things I learned recently. I have to respect ladies more than before. And to say, they are doing what we really don't know. I learned it for the last 1 year now. I've been with my child for one good year. And from all the stages, from the time the baby was born, from the time the baby started crying and stopped crying until the baby started crawling, I was watching all those processes until when he started walking. To be very sincere, the day he started, we were all celebrating. Me, I have never seen that. The mother was just laughing and saying, yeah, you have not seen it. That's your time. That's your time, Tito.
I think it's amazing. I mean, that his work-life balance of like not knowing what it looks like to see a baby walk for the first time.
Yeah. Okay, but explain, because this is his fourth child and he's experiencing this all for the first time. So like, What has been happening in his life up till then that he missed 1, 2, and 3?
So Tito, like I said, is super passionate about changing South Sudan. I mean, that's always been his heart. So he left to go to university in Kenya and came back. But the backstory to Tito is he's grown up in a country that was in the middle of a war. Mm-hmm. Sudan and South Sudan have been fighting. They've now since formed separate countries. But he has, from very early on, been in war. He was born into war. He has been conscripted as a child soldier into both sides, ironically, of the war. He knows trauma. He knows fear. He knows war. He left to go to college in Kenya. And again, just so passionately committed to changing and bettering the place where he lives that he went back. He went back, met his wife. He and Edwina got married and had their oldest, Angela. Angela's 12. But basically, right after Angela was born, things got so rough that Edwina and Angela moved to northern Uganda. So for most of Tito and Edwina's marriage, she's lived in northern Uganda. She's come home for brief snippets, 2 or 3 months at a time, or he's gone to visit. But he's just never lived with his family. He's wanted to keep his family safe and also fully committed to the fact that he's got a job to do and he believes in that job. So he's always been going back across the border. He, for a long time, had a house in South Sudan and had a whole separate household that he was keeping in northern Uganda. After Angela, they've had 3 more. And they had Caleb, and then they had Dora. All of these, again, he just wasn't there for. He would come in after the birth and then leave again, or he would come in for the birth and stick around for 3 weeks and then leave again. Edwina's had a lot of family help in Uganda, but they've done life separately. They're both committed to bettering South Sudan. Edwina has her master's in community development. So they're just passionate about leaving an impact in the world that they are from and setting an example for their children. But it was interesting that this time around, when the war got really bad in 2015, Tito moved to northern Uganda with his family. It was just really unsafe at that point. So we moved all of our operations of South Sudan into Uganda. And then when I was there, beginning of 16 is when he told me, we're going to have a baby. And so it's just been this really beautiful place of, in the midst of things that are so hard, he's learning to appreciate what he's been given. He's in seasons, and part of the circumstances of those seasons are not fun. He wants to be in South Sudan. They're committed to being in South Sudan, but that's not where they are right now. And in the midst of that season, what do I have to look at that brings joy and is the goodness of this season? So for him, raising a baby. Before the war, he'd never spent more than 3 months in the house with the kids.
Wow.
So this is his first time at being a real life, full-on dad that's home every night, that's disciplining, that's figuring out how to talk to a 10-year-old boy about his feelings and his anger, or watching a 1-year-old little boy learn to walk. Angela's almost a teenager. She's going to be 13, and she went off to boarding school this year for secondary school. And, you know, just learning all those new things that before Edwina was navigating alone, because that's what their calling was. But it's just amazing to watch him grow and to see him really learn and take all of what he can out of the situation that he has. He's in a season. He knows it's not going to last forever. So how do I absorb all of this that I can and let it teach me for my future?
So now he's currently with his family in northern Uganda. What does he spend his time doing when he's not with his family, like as far as working with our operations, what's happening?
Yeah, so he's still managing an entire country's education program and all of the training that these local leaders are getting. So those local leaders for us now are spread out all the way from Darfur and different places in Sudan. And then all of our country teaching in South Sudan. And then a lot of our program, about half of our program, has moved to the refugee camps in northern Uganda. So he moves around.
Cool.
So when I caught him at home last week with Benjamin, it was because he was getting ready to leave for a week and be in refugee camps and then fly into Juba. And he'll go every few months up to Darfur and into some of the more war zone areas of the Sudan-South Sudanese border. But yeah, he's still committed to making South Sudan and Sudan a place that knows beauty and life and communities that are thriving. Mm.
Okay, so working alongside Tito so closely and intimately, have you learned anything from him as far as how he does work-life balance and, you know, how that can be incorporated in your life here in the States?
I think he, more than anybody else that I spend time with in Africa, is teaching me about the importance of intentionality and being present. Because he had such a radical shift. He had such a shift from work being his primary focus and keeping his family safe, meaning they weren't with him. He could eat and sleep work. There wasn't anybody in his house in Tarit at the end of the day. His family was in Uganda, so he could come home and keep working and keep taking phone calls and kind of feed himself and move on, very similarly to your life. Like, mm-hmm. It's harder to have balance because you're doing it all by yourself. But what he has found in moving into northern Uganda and being present with his family is you can't do that and work all the time. Being present with your family means there have to be places where you stop and shut the door to work and you don't answer the phone and you don't leave because what you need to do is attune to your family. You need to listen to your wife and hear her heart and hear her passion and be present at her graduation ceremony. And you need to invest into the lives of your children. And he keeps telling me that all the time. Like, the biggest ministry I have is in my home. If I can't raise this family well, then I'm undercutting my actual mission. If my mission is to make South Sudan better and stronger, the place where I have the most ability to do that is with these four children in my home and in the way I treat their mother in front of them and in what they learn from our marriage and from what they learn from me being present. And if I'm not able to do that, then the next generation of people coming along behind me won't be making South Sudan any better. Because they won't know any better. And so he's just been the place and the person that keeps reminding me to be present, that if Fletcher's up in the middle of the night or if Fletcher's throwing a temper tantrum and we're at the grocery store and it's horrifying, what does it look like to be present there? Mm-hmm. How do you engage and enter into Fletcher's story and be working really hard to better his reality, to help mold and shape his mind and his heart? Around things that I believe make him strong. And then in doing so, that's making my community stronger.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. So he just teaches me a lot about the value of finding good, healthy work-life balance. And then the beauty that can be found in the midst of both of those. When I'm at work, loving the space to get to invest in Africa. But when I'm at home, loving the opportunity to talk about different airplanes and rocket boosters and what do we do with our fear and our sadness and our joy.
You know, that's beautiful.
Emily, I'm telling you, God is so much concerned about the family more than anything else, because family is a unit where the gospel is built up. I remember I was brought up in that kind of family to know Jesus Christ, and that family impacted my life. And when I got married and the work came on in board, and I started working too much work, I could not be able to balance. That was my biggest problem. I could not balance my family life and the ministry life. And when I came to learn later on that, for instance, my firstborn did not get the love that I have. The second born did not. The third born got very little. And when I spent much time with my family, then I realized there's something that I had missed for the last 10 years, which I need to impact into the life of others. I was able to see my little child growing from the day one up to now. I was with him, and the mother is like, "You have done good job to this time. You have done good."
I think the beauty of why even we're doing this podcast is it's always about hearing a different perspective and seeing what value it's bringing. Like, Tito brings a unique perspective. I bring a different perspective. And you bring a beautiful perspective, too. I mean, there is a space for singlehood and how do you balance life and then take as much out of it and be always learning and always growing and taking the fullness out of the season that you're in because life will change. So I hope for our listeners that's what it is today. It's a place of saying maybe work and life balance is balanced. Maybe it's not, but if nothing else, how do you live in the present and take from it what you have for tomorrow?
I love that. Well, thanks so much for sharing about your story and Fletch and Tito. And yeah, I've just loved listening and learning. So thank you so much for our listeners for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And again, subscribe. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please subscribe so you don't miss on future conversations. We have a lot coming up that we're excited to share and talk about and more funny stories from the field and our own personal lives. So yeah, subscribe. Also comment, leave reviews on iTunes or however you listen to the podcast because we want to hear from you. Again, this is a conversation, which means it's not just one or two people talking. It's a whole group of us talking and interacting. So just interact with us, leave reviews, leave comments, ask questions. Let us know what you want to hear. If you're curious about a certain topic that you would like to hear us talk about, please let us know. And we would love to put that into our notes and moving forward, hopefully have a podcast on things you guys want to learn about. So thanks for tuning in.
Thanks. Bye.